The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Wednesday, August 14th, 2019, and you are tuned in to Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. What's up, guys? Shannon Young, Mr. 100 here with you. Another week, another show. Wrestle time. Down at the end of the table is Ace of Gray, the five-star man.
Yes.
To my right, Ali will be here later.
Hi.
And, of course, the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
So, I haven't actually looked over the notes yet.
Did we do a show last week?
Allie's off. She's coming here.
I don't remember.
Because we previewed SummerSlam and TakeOver. And
Allie's in the parking lot. She looks disgruntled. Let's get into the news and notes of the week. Allie will be joining us shortly, so put your pitchforks down. Put them down. First, let's start off with the clip that Asa Gray just showed me from the G1 Climax, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of Kenta joining the Bullet Club. And Asa, tell us all about what happened at this very scary-looking moment.
Yeah, it was gross. It was real gross. So it was a six-man tag. Kenta turned on his partners, joined up with the Bullet Club, which in itself would be, like, noteworthy because Kenta's first real big run with New Japan, and he's joining, you know, really breathing in some new life into the
Bullet Club,
biggest faction that they've had.
Because I legitimately thought that the Bullet Club was done after the Elite left.
It's easy to think that because, like, there was no real blow off to that, but Bullet Club stayed thing, but they just kind of, like, I don't mean this to sound like disrespectful, but they've kind of just been treading water.
Well, yeah, that being said, they still very much do have, wow, that was a lot of words, they still have a lot of the non-Japanese wrestlers in their group.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the Gorillas of Destiny, Bad Luck Fale. Jay White was a big coup. Jado was a big coup when he betrayed Okada.
Yeah, they had the two guys. I can't they have Ishimori, who has been in the Bullet Club for a while now, but they had two guys who I don't know why I can't think of their names right now. But, like, they have
Chase Owens is there. I mean, so, like, they've been a thing, but Kenta is, like, the big, like, that's a big one.
Yeah.
But the biggest news coming out of it is the story of, because after they attacked their opponents, Shibata stormed the ring. And for those of you who don't know, Shibata is the man who, in his match against Okada, threw a headbutt so hard, he lost vision in one eye, ended up losing consciousness, had a 20% survival rate because he fractured his skull, was told that he likely would never walk again. We covered the Tokyo Dome show where he walked to the ring, and how big of a deal that was. He storms the ring and attacks Kenta and the rest of Bullet Club, doing actual moves and laying them in real pretty, real gross-like.
As he is wont to do.
Yeah, but looks like he hasn't missed a day. Much less, you know, almost died.
He was throwing some stiff ass shit.
That running drop kick.
That running just kick.
The broski boot.
Yeah.
That he hit. Like, oh, that's what that's supposed to look. That's what that would look like if you were trying to kill someone.
No, the broski boot's the boot wash.
I mean, that's kind of what he did there. Oh no, yeah, because he was standing.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
No, because I'm thinking I'm replaying the drop kick because the drop kick is when they were seated.
Was MVP standing? The drive-by?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the haluva kick. The hell of a kick.
The haluva kick, yeah.
Haluva kick.
Yeah, that's but he runs in with him. Like, that's the difference.
Can I ask a dumb question before we get back to that?
Yeah.
I've always wondered this legitimately. The haluva kick. Is haluva a term, or is it supposed to be a hell of a kick just pronounced differently?
I think it's both.
Okay.
But I've
legitimately wondered about that.
I'm not 100% sure myself.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so Shibata attacks Kenta, attacks the rest of Bullet Club. Numbers game catches up with him. And then Kenta damn near kicks his head off.
Yes, he does.
Again, this is a man whose skull imploded on itself, and he legitimately almost died.
He was almost the aluminum monster.
And then it ends with just the ultimate disrespect of sitting legs crossed on his chest. So I don't know. There's a lot of speculation of, is Shibata going to return to the ring full time? Was this kind of like a one and done type deal? Because Kenta, when he came into New Japan, was like Shibata's big reveal.
Yeah.
And like they were, you know, they
that
were
was
friends.
At Dominion.
I think so.
Yeah, because I was watching it. Yeah, it was Dominion.
So I thought this was a super cool thing because
pick a position.
My bad.
Because Shibata being injured was such a big, scary, life-threatening thing, and to see him, even if he's not back full time, to mm-hmm. see him do the things that he did there and take the things that he took. Impressive, but also it's that I'm a little itchy because I know what happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, so when Daniel Bryan came back to wrestling, and we were all worried because, you know, of everything that happened with his neck, this is very much the same thing, just even worse probably, because when you tell a man he has a 20% chance of surviving and then he's out there wrestling again, I don't know if that's a smart move. Even if he's okay, do you want to
You've
got that fear. You've got to have that fear. And I'm surprised he doesn't have that fear.
Oh, no, he clearly doesn't.
No,
like he clearly does not give a F.
And that in itself is very, very scary. We'll tie this into a story you've got a little bit later here of Paige. She's undergoing a neck surgery today, I believe it was.
It was her third
neck surgery, if I remember correctly, right?
I think so. I'm not 100%
sure. Because they apparently didn't get it all fixed up, and now she's had to go under the knife again. Paige is 26. Her wrestling career is over. She's had three surgeries. Her very life could have been threatened. At what point do you – and you know if she had the chance, she would immediately get back in the ring.
Well, and she's tried before because, she had the neck issues and then she was able to return and then it wasn't –
She took that dropkick from Sasha and –
Yeah, it wasn't too long after that she came back that she again
because
had
a freak
to step
accident
away.
Can happen. Something – Dalton, you know better than anybody. Freak accident can happen in wrestling. You fall the wrong way. You get kicked the wrong way. If you already have damage done to you, that could be life-threatening. That could end not just your career. You may never walk again.
Yeah, I mean, that's what has happened to Tyson Kidd back in, 2016, 2015?
Because it was off the muscle buster, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it wasn't the muscle buster that he used to do. It was basically a suplex where he was holding his legs, and it was just years of wear and tear. That's what Barbed Wire was telling me, of, protecting your neck, because, it wasn't the one suplex he took that broke his neck. It was the years of messing with it.
Right.
Which,
it's like breaking a tooth. It doesn't matter if you're eating concrete or you're eating cotton candy.
It's gonna break.
If your tooth is about to break, it's going to break.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, it's something you always think about. Not a whole lot that comes in my head anymore, but, it's the whole, I could do something that could break my anything and be really bad. I have that thought every once in a while.
I assume every wrestler does. I have that thought when I go out there, and I don't do anything.
Yeah, but, it's just one of those things that, there are things that you can do to curb it.
Not come back after being told you only have a 20% chance of surviving and doing it all again.
Well, I wasn't even going to go that far. I was going to say not actually headbutting people.
That would be a good start.
That would be a really fantastic
start. Maybe don't let people kick you in the face for real. All good
that
things.
That just happens sometimes.
I was also nervous at SummerSlam when Edge, because I didn't know Edge had come out and speared Elias till later.
Yeah, that's what you whenever you told me, because I was doing something. I think I was
You were unboxing your turtles.
That was I, or was I going to Dollar Store?
What do you mean?
Unimportant.
When I was talking to you about it.
I was unboxing my turtles, but I think it already happened. I think we
you guys hadn't made it here yet. It was on the pre-show.
I watched the video later, and it was still a safe spot.
Yeah,
you know, as much as it could be. Because
I explained it to Dalton, where it's it wasn't the normal where he just picked him up and drove him. It wasn't a Goldberg spear. He very much hit him, but then he hit the ground hands first.
Right.
He caught himself.
As safe as it could be. Because Edge also retired very, very early due to neck injuries.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling's dangerous.
Also, Paige, 2 hours ago, thank you for everything. We got treated like royalty. My favorite doctor and team ever. She retweeted a picture from Barrow Neurological. So seemingly her surgery this morning went well.
That's good.
Because she tweeted. So that is good. That is very good news.
That is a girl that has gone through so much shit in 26 years that I hope nothing but the best for her.
Right.
Legitimately. Just heard the bell ring, which means it's time for our special guest of the evening. Coming to the stage slowly.
Wish she would pick it up. Walk around the table. There's cords.
Because she's Princess Ali. Mighty is she. Ali of Podzilla.
Great. Now we're going to owe them money.
No. I changed the words.
It's fine. It's the
Weird
Outlaws.
Hi.
It's on.
Really quick, tell us how you're doing.
Why are you being rude to me already?
I haven't seen you all day.
God, that's what the fans like. They miss Ali. Everybody loves Ali. Ali. Well, you missed the first story about
a wrestler that was told he had 20% chance of surviving after headbutting someone so hard, he killed himself. He's back doing moves now, and Kenta joined the Bullet Club. It's a long story. I'll catch you up later.
Okay.
Let's move on to the next story.
Also, Paige had her surgery, and she's going to be okay.
She had a third neck surgery today. Yeah. This one's about JR, AEW, and StarCast. Raising money for El Paso and Dayton victims of StarCast. Wow, how did I not see the ad on there?
Did you just think it was just JR, AEW, and StarCast?
That's why I was going to throw it to you to tell me what the hell was going on. But you can still tell me what the hell's going on, please.
Well, they raised $150,000 for the Jacksonville at their show. I meant to look up because it was JR mentioned on his podcast that there was going to be something with StarCast 3 happening before All Out in Chicago next weekend.
Is that StarCast? That's 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now? Okay.
Which would mean All Out's also 2 weeks from now, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's because StarCast is its WrestleCon, basically.
Yeah.
It was just that thing of like, wait, is that this weekend? Because I forgot to preview it.
I have Stride this weekend, CCW the next, and then the next weekend, so All Out.
Too much wrestling.
No such thing.
Not all.
Oh, good. There really is. Dalton and I watched 2 Hulk Hogan matches today.
We did.
We actually
WrestleMania 19 and then SummerSlam 2005.
So him versus Vince McMahon and him versus Shawn Michaels.
It was great.
Both good matches, yeah. Fun matches.
One was fun for a different reason.
Shawn was having a lot of fun in his match.
He was having so much fun.
Is that
fun.
The one where he was like yep. flopping around?
He was bouncing around like a bouncy ball.
Everything ended in a flip.
Which is, again, I know he was trying to make Hogan look stupid, but unintentionally he made Hogan look like goddamn Incredible Hulk. Because he would get punched and he would fly out of the ring. Like, how strong is Hulk Hogan? Turn a negative to a positive, brother. We got the DNA test back and you are not anyone. You're not everyone's brother.
That has been one of my favorite memes recently.
I do enjoy that one.
That's a good one.
Hey, so are you looking something up? Am I stalling or am I going?
Yeah, you are. Because I'm trying to figure out his, because it was like right towards the end. Like, it was literally the next day of he mentioned that. On his podcast that AEW and StarCast and him were going to be doing something to raise money for the victims of the El Paso and the Dayton, Ohio shootings.
Which good.
Yeah.
But you heard that too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I also heard it. I assumed it was a skateboarder on the sidewalk.
I assume what it was, but yeah. No, it's like, that's good that they're doing that. More people need to do that.
Especially, like, it's happening more and more. We need, like, awareness that, like, hey, we might have a problem, and let's also fund, like, trying to help the politics. Problem. I didn't say anything about politics. I literally said there's a problem.
That's a problem. That is the politics.
Oh, shit.
There was another shooting today, by the way.
Was there?
Yeah. See, last I heard, 6 cops shot and killed responding to a narcotics call.
Where at?
Let me see. I know this is not the show for it.
Yeah,
we'll probably talk more about it tomorrow on After Dark. Philadelphia.
Okay. I say Jesse or no, Asa had a really good mother effort.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two police officers remain trapped inside the house where the shootout erupted. A standoff is currently taking place. So this is a breaking story. As of 8:43, this is a breaking story.
So as of right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for the people out there. Anyway, that's tomorrow. We'll talk about all that horrible shit tomorrow, I'm sure. Asa.
Yeah, I can't find it.
That's fine. Point is they did something good.
Yeah,
they did something good for people. And
hopefully, if I can find something, I'll put it on for next week.
Okay. Also, real quick, give a shout out to our boy Marco Stunt, who is on the AEW roster page.
Also, shout out to AEW for having a roster page. I didn't know that was a thing.
That's so cool to see.
Did you see Cody Rhodes' tweet that he's saying that they've only revealed about 40% of the roster?
That makes me itchy.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah,
we don't want to have the WWE problem.
Did you see the reveal from yesterday?
Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
Why did you both look at me?
Well, because did you see the video of it?
No.
It's Orange Cassidy, but you can't see his face, and it's like 3 oranges in a bowl, and he squeezes one into a blender, and then he puts a contract.
He pulls a contract out of his jean jacket, and he pulls paper out. He reveals that it just says AEW contract. He puts it in the blender, blends it, pours it into a glass, then takes his sunglasses out of his pocket and like puts them on the edge of the glass.
All right, so a couple things.
The reason we looked at you is because we know you are not you're not a fan.
I am a fan of him because the shtick that he does He's great at it.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of the shtick.
Right.
I think he's incredibly talented. I do worry that long term in like AEW, he can't just keep the same thing going. He cannot be that character.
And I think that's part. So
he has to adapt.
Part of the thing with Cody Rhodes saying that it's 40% of the roster has been revealed. Like they have, they've hit pretty hard the whole like wins and losses are going to matter. And also that like their touring schedule isn't going to be the same people like on the road a ridiculous amount of time. They're going to have that rotating roster.
Good.
So I think that requires a bigger roster in general.
Right.
Also, I very much get the feeling that they will have, like, I know this is a bad word now, but they are going to have like that jobber group of guys.
Yeah, but you don't think Orange Cassidy is going to be that, do you?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. If you're gonna, if you're going to have someone do that, like, I could see it being him.
I could see tweaking Orange Cassidy just enough to where he's taken seriously, but still keep the too cool for school attitude.
I mean, they could, and that's the cool thing about this roster is it also, like, the way that they seem to be presenting it is there's a chance that if you, even if you are, like, a, you know, if they use you to enhance other competitors, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't do anything for this person. Like, you can...
Well, I saw...
They go away for a little while, and then they come back, and you treat them more seriously, and...
I saw the segment he had in the Battle Royal with Tommy Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
And like where he comes out and he does the little kicks and stuff and everybody's laughing. Like that needs to go. You can't do that. But the part where Dreamer like dropped him and then he flipped back up with his hands in his pocket,
mm-hmm.
keep it. That shit will get over. And if you make him a good wrestler where he's actually beating people up, but if they hit him with a move or something, he bounces back. That would be fantastic.
I mean, that's kind of what he does. That's pretty much what he does.
Yeah, but take out the...
The comedy parts of it.
Take out the stuff that is so blatantly, like, over-the-top dumb.
But people don't sell it. That's the difference.
They don't sell it, but how far can you go with that? You know? Like,
well, he's been doing this for about 2 years now.
On the indie circuit. We're talking about... This is TV. This is money on the line. This is ratings. How much...
Santino Marella.
At least Santino Marella was a wrestler.
Well, yeah, but he still
didn't fight
silly
in
shit.
Slow motion.
That was Joe Janela, by the way.
Orange Cassidy also fights in slow motion. He has to, so he doesn't spill the beer.
He was not wrestling in slow motion, sir. No, but like one time, Morella hit the Cobra on JTG, and he legit acted like venom went through his veins, and he died.
I thought it was Venium.
Hate you.
To be well, fair, sometimes. I hate that too.
Saturday morning slam or whatever it was, the one that was like strictly for kids. It was Jinder Mahal.
Slam City.
No, it was a wrestling show.
Yeah, it was the actual
it's
show.
It's like Saturday morning slam.
Was this one where they had the kids like commentary and stuff?
No, it was.
But are you talking about the Snake Charmer?
Yeah, because they had like Jinder Mahal and Great Khali like have dueling snake charming flutes for the Cobra.
That's both stupid and offensive. Like. That is a different. I think that's a different. That's comparing apples to oranges.
Bitch, I'm not so going. Much.
You can't even be mad at me right now. Let's move on.
Watch me. Don't believe me. Just watch.
That's a different song.
Where the hell were we?
AEW.
Orange Cassidy and AEW stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Anyway, let's talk about not so many fun. Speaking of somebody being on the juice, Jimmy Uso.
I mean, there might be some juice in the mixed drink.
The
yes.
Wowie juice, the stuff that Krusty the Clown used to drink. I asked. There was a part at SummerSlam where someone said, who's going to come out and save, was it Ricochet? Somebody said, who's going to come out and save who?
Ricochet, yeah.
And I said, probably the Usos, not realizing, as Asa corrected me, the Usos aren't allowed in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Asa, tell us why.
Yeah, because Jimmy Uso's DUI arrest has kept them from entering Canada for SummerSlam weekend. They were not advertised for any matches, but they were supposed to be at like a certain, there was at least one signing event that they were supposed to do that got canceled because they...
No, did it get canceled like months in advance, right? This wasn't like 2 days before the show they went like, oh, right, we can't bring the Usos.
I mean, it wasn't months in advance because he just got arrested like a week ago or 2 weeks
ago.
But
Jay also is less than a year off of his last one.
I think he was... that wasn't a DUI arrest.
Oh, okay.
Was it not?
No, because he also has a DUI arrest, but that's been like a few years.
Okay.
I think Canada keeps track of that for a pretty long fucking time.
See, but I think Jimmy was the only one that was...
Oh, yeah, because Jay wasn't driving. Naomi was driving.
Yeah.
Remember, Jay just threatened the cop.
Also, that was Jimmy.
Was that Jimmy?
Yes, because Jimmy is the one married to Naomi.
I can't tell them apart.
No, Jimmy is the one that's very lucky to be alive right now.
Well, what the hell did Jay get arrested for?
The same damn thing.
It was something
he just didn't,
it
just
wasn't
didn't square up to the cops.
It wasn't a DUI, because Jay got arrested last year.
Right.
I'm on it. I just because he also got in trouble with the law for...
No, but he has. But apparently that wasn't something that would keep them out of Canada. It was Jimmy's that got that they weren't able to get it, that, well, that he wasn't able to get in, so they just canceled both appearances.
Do you think that was smart to cancel both, or do you think they should have just put Jay on?
Oh, it has been over a year. It was January 2018. My bad.
So it was
DWI. Sorry, there's a difference.
I mean, there is, but was that what Jay was arrested for?
This was on TMZ in 2018. WWE Tag Team Champ Jay Uso arrested Sunday DWI following WWE live event.
And wait, so there's a difference between DWI and DUI? There,
it is, but it,
DWI is the not as bad one.
A lot of it also depends on the state. Like, it's sometimes, some places those terms are interchangeable. Sometimes there is a difference.
Because, like, in Missouri, there's a difference because I have a close family member that had a DWI instead of a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's kind of gone off her record.
Yeah. Because it's driving.
But, like, a DUI is worse.
I don't know what the difference, I don't remember what the difference is. I know it's driving while intoxicated and driving under the influence.
Right.
Both of them are
drugs versus alcohol.
Potentially, but like I said, I'm not 100% sure what the difference are. But it doesn't matter because like it was Jimmy was the one that was being kept out of Canada, so they just canceled those appearances.
I again pose the question to you: do you think that was a smart move, or should they had Jay appear at least one Uso?
This is gonna, I don't know how to say this without making it sound shitty, but for that kind of appearance, I think you need both. Because like, I would love to meet just one of them, like as a, like in a one-on-one setting or something like that. But as a fan paying a ticket to like,
you want to see the Usos.
Yeah, you want to see the Usos because they have always been a unit. It's always been the two. When one gets injured, they're both off TV.
So, random question: do you think we'll ever see the Usos split up, or do you think they will be a tag team literally till they leave WWE?
That is a good question. I could see them just staying a tag team. I think they're good. I think both of them are good enough that they could have solo runs, but I feel like they are so good as a tag team.
Yeah, they're so connected.
That it wouldn't make sense
to. And they're not even really brothers, you said.
That wasn't me.
So on the CCW live video from tonight, Ken Murphy, as of 5 minutes ago, put, Asa, please let fan know I'm giving away an SDCC Macho Man figure away at Cage Chaos. No raffle. Come to the show and have a chance to win it. 5 minutes ago, he commented that, by the way. So you have a job to do.
Well, I'm going to respond to him and just be like, okay.
I almost did, but I saw it and started.
You know
like,
what you ought to do? You need to take him outside. Well, so his ass apart.
So you heard it here first, folks. Chance to win an SDCC exclusive Macho Man figure at Homecoming CCW Homecoming 4 Cage Chaos August 24th.
You
at
stole
AC
my
Arena.
Ability to laugh. You stole my ability to laugh because every time I hit my, you know what I think about?
RuPaul.
That should make it better, you fuck.
You godless sodomite.
I love RuPaul.
Meanwhile, Florida man breaks into Wendy's, cooks burger, then steals safe.
Does it? Did you have the same thing that I had where it said Florida man should be a Netflix series? Yeah. I fucking watch it.
Oh my god. Anyway, moving on. Austin Theory, who is the.
Isn't he the Evolve
he's
champion?
The Evolve. Well, yeah, because he won. I don't know if they combined the titles or if now he's both. But at Evolve 100, it was the Evolve champion and the WWN champion.
Yeah.
And Santana Garrett, both signed to WWE developmental deals.
Yes, they are
Performance
the,
Center.
They are the
new class.
Yeah, they're in the new class. They're not the entire class, but they will be in the they're in the new class of the Performance Center signees, which isn't very why is my volume up?
Because you turned it up from earlier. Oh, Ken then also put
he made a separate post. Okay, good.
So congratulations to Austin Theory and Santana Garrett. I did see a couple people shitting on the Santana Garrett one, saying that they're going to waste her. This is a terrible idea for her, stuff like that. I don't know. I always thought she was cool. So let's see what she can do. I want to take a snapshot of what I'm seeing right now of three people frantically scrolling and touching their phones as I'm standing here watching.
I'm trying to see if I can win this SDCC Macho Man.
I don't think you're eligible.
No, it's just if you purchase a ticket.
Did you bring
one? I will buy one,
Yeah, good point. Oh, shit. I'm eligible. Lindsay. All right. Do I have to do anything?
No, as long as she has a ticket purchased.
All right.
If Lindsay wins it, can I get it?
No.
You son of a...
But if it has a better one than yours, I'll trade you.
You're the best.
I know. That's right. Anyway.
What's our next story, Shannon? I'm sorry.
That's it. That's it for the stories, which is good because we have a lot of stuff to cover on the weekend shows.
Yeah, it was a light news week for sure.
Sweet.
Let's start with the Monday Night Raw.
Do you want to... Well, let's start with the... pay-per-views.
Let's start with pay-per-views.
Because like, everything that happened on Raw and SmackDown
came
from that.
First off, real quick, let's talk about the coolest thing from, well, we won't do SummerSlam first. I guess it would make more sense to do TakeOver. Or should we do Impact first? Nah, let's do TakeOver.
Yeah, we do.
All right, so I didn't get to see TakeOver. I heard it was good, but I heard it. I think Asa said it wasn't his favorite.
No,
or am I imagining things?
No,
but there's been like 50 of them, though. In fairness,
there's been 26.
Oh, that's right. Half of 50
we just
plus two.
We just had 25, and then this is the one after that.
Common Core.
Thank you, Shannon.
It's the thing where it just this one didn't really click for me as much as it did for a lot of other people. I'm not saying it was bad. Like it's just when they I've made the analogy before of when you hit a grand slam every single time you go up to bat. When you hit a double's still really good.
But it feels terrible compared to a grand slam.
And I'm not even gonna say it felt terrible. Like it just I don't know. It just didn't really grab me. Part of it is like so like the tag team title match of the Street Profits and Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that match, but it's what I was talking about last week where the Street Profits on Raw and SmackDown doing nothing every week has made me like them less.
Less than their brand.
And so like that kind of made me enjoy this match less.
I forget didn't the Profits win?
Yeah, and the Profits Street Profits retained, which okay, I guess. Like, I still like Montez Ford. I still think is a star. That was one of my favorite memes coming out of it. Was them backstage at SummerSlam, where it was the Street Profits and Ric Flair, and it said, "Wow, look at this! The greatest wrestler of all time, and Antonio posing with Antonio Dawkins and Ric Flair."
it's also Angelo Dawkins.
He could have Angelo Dawkins. Shit, I don't even know what I said.
The cereal stir.
Yeah, I know who he is. I just got the name wrong.
He does that thing that you dislike a lot.
Okay.
The serving the cereal.
You're trying to be me, and it doesn't work. Because you're just so shitty.
What does he do?
I just repeat stuff because, like, it actually makes when I do it, it makes you laugh, and that's the whole point. But Montez
what does he actually do though? He stirs cereal.
No, he does. He does the mixing bowl thing.
Oh, so he does. Okay, I thought he legitimately always had a bowl of cereal with him.
No, they have the red. They have the red Solo cups. That's what they have. But no, Angelo Dawkins does the stirring thing, and I don't know why. It weirds me out.
He should just do the jerk off.
I don't enjoy it, like everybody else.
Like everybody else.
Miz did it that once.
Billy mentioned something about like he's got or no, it was Mauro and Billy talked about it, but it's like Mauro was like he's got pogo legs or pogo sticks in his legs, and like they really could have just used him as Batroc the Leaper in the MCU. Like I know they used him in
that's a deep cut.
It is
Batroc the Leaper.
Yeah. He was in Winter Soldier. He was the dude Captain America fights in the boat at the beginning.
I would say they could have also used him as legendary mythological creature Spring-Heeled Jack.
Made that up.
It's real.
You made that up.
Made it up.
No, it's real. Look it up.
I don't have to.
I'm gonna.
Do it. Do it, you coward.
What'd you say?
Godless sodomite?
Springboard Jack.
Spring-Heeled Jack.
Same thing.
Whoa.
Both of them are fake.
Whoa.
It's fine. Where is that's just right. The takeover what
so that was the first match.
Why is it giving me
it's
giving me the pre-show. Because they filmed stuff for the NXT that was tonight, and that was Breezango
beat the Forgotten Sons
against the Forgotten Sons, and then the finals of the NXT breakout tournament.
Who won that?
Jordan Miles.
I wanted Isaiah Scott to win.
He was eliminated. He wasn't even in the finals. So
I know, and that's why I've been...
It was Jordan Miles beat Cameron Grimes.
I've been out of it for a while. That's funny, because we saw Jordan Miles beat Cameron Grimes 2 years ago. Or a year ago.
But yeah, so like the tag match, it was good. It was a really good match. It's just WWE, the main roster, has already kind of ruined the Street Profits for me, and that really bums me
out.
Which
is bad, because they haven't even touched the ring yet.
I know. It's so bad.
You okay there, Allie?
You didn't look at the...
Shannon just sent me the
holy shit.
Just sent me this real check.
I can't believe that's an actual fucking
thing.
It is. I know this is the match that I think you like the most, the Io Shirai defeating Candice LeRae.
Yeah, that was really fucking good.
Yeah.
Why did you make a separate group chat? We have the legendary PC.
80 fucking.
Because he wanted us to get the notification.
I get the notification, you fuck.
I don't.
That'd be funnier.
I definitely don't. So Io Shirai defeated Candice LeRae. That was a really, really good match. And it was actually a really sweet moment. Like, I think it was on Twitter. Candice LeRae was like, if nothing else, they let me be Candice LeRae tonight. And I really appreciated that. That one took a little bit for me to get into, but
was really hard hitting. I loved it.
Once it clicked for me, like I was all in on
it. So is Io Shirai the next challenger for Shayna Baszler?
She can't be. No, like, cause she
goes back to what I said last week.
Yeah, she just turned heel. And then Baszler's still very much a heel.
So they're just going to keep going with Candace, probably.
I have a theory on that, but I don't know when it's going to be. Because Baszler did defeat Mia. Baszler did defeat Mia Yim.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the match for what it was, but it never really felt like Yim had a chance.
Yeah.
And same. Hunter and I were messaging back and forth because I knew I was the only one watching it live. Like we were the only ones watching it live in that group chat, so I didn't want to spoil anything. Mm-hmm. But I was like, it seems like the point of this match was to establish that Baszler didn't need Jessamine Duke or Mina Shafir. Did I just say that wrong?
Marina
Shafir.
The horsewoman.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. Yeah. She didn't need the other horsewoman to retain. It just seems like kind of a waste of Mia Yim. Not a waste of Mia Yim, but it feels
unnecessary.
I don't feel like that they needed to feed Mia Yim. Like they could have done it again with like Bianca Belair or someone
that's already the same person I was thinking.
Like of someone that's already challenged for that has been screwed by the horsewomen.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of kind of building Mia Yim up out of nowhere as like this legitimate contender, which is kind of what they've been treating Baszler's title reign as like a monster of the week show. Mm. Where they just try
to just cycle them in.
They
kind
of just cycle someone new in, like really spotlight someone who is very, very talented and very, very capable.
I love Mia Yim.
But they only focus on them just to feed them to Baszler.
Right.
And I get that a lot of people are kind of starting to sour on Baszler. I'm not necessarily one of them. But
I honestly never cared much for Baszler. She never did it for me.
I just feel like you could have brought in Mia Yim in a more meaningful way, which they did give her. Like they gave her the character development. They gave her her taking out Duke and Shafir. But yeah, so Dahl and I were talking about Hunter and I were also talking about who's next? Because Hunter sent me a gift of Sasha, which I told him, I was like, I'm pretty sure that's going to be Becky's next feud, which ding, 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 called it.
Yeah.
Spoilers, you whoops. Godless sodomite.
God damn it.
And then I'm not 100 because it feels like there's no one in the Performance Center that's like a big name or like that would be a big enough deal for them to bring up as like a big marquee Shayna match.
Santana Garrett?
No, because she's been on NXT before.
Yeah, like she's been on NXT before. But the one that I think it's going to be is I think it's going to be Dakota Kai, because she has a history. Back. She has a history with Baszler.
That's the one that Baszler was the one that injured her. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
story.
I haven't heard anything about Dakota Kai in so long. I kind of forgot she was there
because she's hurt.
Oh, she cleared.
And that's the thing is I don't know how long she has left. So, but I feel like that would be a good enough story, and that would be a very feel good underdog. Dakota Kai coming back up from, you know, needing Kairi Sane's help, needing Io Shirai's help to, like, defend herself against Baszler and the Horsewomen.
I'd have her face Carmella. I'd have Carmella beat her.
Have Carmella go back down to NXT.
She's getting close. She got injured in December 2018. It was a knee injury, so if you think 8 to 9 months.
Yeah, it could be.
She's getting pretty coming close up. To, yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just kind of a question of who could be next for Baszler.
Who's next?
And there could be another, there could be just another in-between feud before she's, you know, ready and clear.
I feel like they've put so much stock in Shayna Baszler as champion, more than they have in a while in a champion. Probably since Asuka. Like,
she is coming up on Asuka's record, I think.
Which is crazy to me.
Are you sure, even with the Kairi Sane?
I think she...
Because Kairi Sane...
Not total days.
Consecutive, yeah.
Yeah, not consecutive days as champion, combined but like days. Combined days as champion. That's what I think she's coming up on. Thank you, Broadway.
Thank you, Broadway.
I hate Broadway.
Triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship. Velveteen Dream versus Pete Dunne versus Roderick Strong.
Sick.
This is bonkers.
This was my favorite match of the night. They avoided the trope of having one person laid out for an extended period and then just kind of a singles match, and then they swapped in and out.
Yeah.
They were constantly... different pairings teaming up to take out the other person. This person comes back in, new pairing, lay someone out, but then it moved really, really quick. It was hard hitting. I love Roderick Strong like so much. Velveteen Dream is ignorantly talented, even though I didn't really like his entrance was too much.
I heard there was something about it, but I don't remember what it was now. What was it?
So it was the Mountie's theme played.
That's what it was.
And then so people dressed as the Mountie came out. They then revealed themselves as like the Toronto Raptors dance squad.
Yeah, and then
and they did a dance number, and then Dream came out, and it was just like weird.
Well, he's Canadian, right?
They pointed out that he has made his home in Canada. They said that on commentary. Now that's what they said on commentary.
I mean, that could be. That,
I'm not saying that he actually lives there now, but yeah.
Like when Benoit used to be credited from like what was it? Benoit or Jericho that was like now residing in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah,
that was Benoit because then Jericho's became Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm. So, but Velveteen Dream retained in the like that kind of shit heel, stole the pin. way.
Yeah.
But I approve. I love that match a lot.
I've also found out that I only like Pete Dunne in gold, black, or red. What did he wear in this one? Green.
Oh, because he's Irish.
Eat a dick.
And then the main event was Adam Cole defeating Johnny Gargano in a 2 out of 3 falls match. The first matchup was a standard wrestling match as picked by Adam Cole. The second match was a street fight as picked by Johnny Gargano. And the third match, as picked by William Regal, was a cage match full of weapons.
So what I thought was really weird about this match was that they tied this into the new Terminator film by having two Terminators go at it.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, everybody's talking about how great this match was.
Eat a dick.
And this match was amazing. Like, I loved the first fall a lot. But then it just kept going. This match went for like 45 minutes or longer. I think it was just over 40. Like, Wikipedia just said it. I could look at it. 46 minutes and 41 seconds.
Wow.
That's a marathon.
Yeah.
And also, Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano can never be pinned ever again. Ever.
Don't believe me, just watch.
They kicked out of everything minus a gunshot. Like, this, it was almost to the point of just like, ah, come on, really?
Yeah.
Like, out of how many finishers, how many, like, Adam Cole hit the Panama Sunrise, but he jumped off a ladder to get higher to just land and then bounce. I don't.
And he still kicked out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, everything, it's just, it was a very, very hard hitting, like, it was a great match and it was very well worked. For me, it was just that, come on.
So I think kicking out of one finisher in a high-profile match is fine.
Right.
Because that's that drama of, no, I can't give up. I'm pushing myself to the limit. Kicking out of, like, three finishers in a high-profile match, anything beyond that is ridiculous, one finisher. Because it gets to a point that, like, it's not called a finisher anymore. It should be called, like, a occasional.
Right.
Like, sex with your wife. It's an occasional.
It's the Tuesday night special.
Lazy sideways.
And especially after, you know, after you've been wrestling 40 matches, there have already been two falls.
40 minutes?
40 matches?
40 minutes. God, I'm tired. I'm on the I'm on the steroids. It's messing with my brain.
It's on the juice.
He is. He's training to be a wrestler.
Yeah, no. I'm training to not die of eczema. Because it's still, look how gross it is still.
Oh, fuck you.
No.
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 Why'd
you have to make it worse?
What did you, Dalton, what did you think of the match?
I really liked it. Those two could wrestle each other forever.
Wait, forever.
Yeah, and I would still be entertained. Will. The thing of it is I don't get really hung up on the whole finishers thing anymore just because, like, I obviously
we're
don't.
Past it.
Yeah, like, I don't know how wrestling works anymore because I, like, instantly thought Seth Rollins was going to get hit with 4 more F5s during the fucking main event of SummerSlam, and it was fine. You have Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole in a match, and they wrestled their match. Like, that was, they were just them out there. Like, that, and that's what I have come to expect with their matches. Because, like, and that's been NXT. I forgot. Gargano hit Velveteen Dream with a DDT on the outside and then rolled him in and then, like, still didn't get the pin. And I'm like, well, they're all Cyborg. It's fine. I was very entertained. And at the end of the day, now in wrestling, that's all I want. If I can be if I can be entertained with it, I really won't even put it, I won't even say in a bubble anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be like, it's fine. It was those two. They know each other so well, their moves don't hurt as bad, I guess. That's my headcanon. There it is. I've explained it away, Asa.
And they called back to previous matches that they've had. They've done other stuff. Like, I really liked how Gargano just, like, gave up the first fall in frustration and just got himself disqualified.
But then he gets to use the chair.
And then, it turned into the street fight that then, like, you know, they went all the way around the arena. And, like, it was really well done. It's just, like, for me personally, it was that, oh, come on, at a certain point. And now, after everything that's happened, like, how can anyone
beat Adam Cole?
Can beat, Adam Cole or Johnny Gargano. Because,
well,
like,
let me explain it was to you my Lord and Savior, Keith Lee.
God.
He'll just throw him. It'll be
how
great.
Can we not, how have we not had Keith Lee and Dijak in a takeover yet?
Oh, I don't know. Keith Lee apparently wrestled Adam Cole in a series of, like, a loop for NXT, and everybody's like, it was like the greatest match ever. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, no, I want to see it.
And they should put it on a takeover. As much as I love Johnny Gargano, like, right. Let him go to 205 Live and be great. Let Keith Lee have the NXT belt.
Do you think Gargano's going to get called up?
No. I think that he is one of those people that Triple H is desperately holding on to.
Saying no Vince?
Until Ciampa comes back and they're like, put him in the tag team division where they at least have a snowball's chance in hell of like thriving, showing everybody what they can do, and then let him split.
Did you see the rumor of NXT going to Fox Sports 1 as a two-hour weekly show?
I did see that, yeah.
That would also feature more input by Vince McMahon?
That I don't want.
Please, no.
Mm-hmm. It's a rumor, but...
Because, like, it's one of those... All right, I'll be honest. The one thing with NXT that they don't do well is stories. Like...
Sir.
Who the fuck are you?
Like, storyline-wise, like... Because, like, it's NXT. It's a sporting competition. It's Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of outlandish stories in NXT. There's a couple. You'll have a couple here or there, but it's not very thorough. A lot of times, it's just... I want the belt that you're holding. Which, for a wrestling show, is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would understand, like... But if you're on Fox Sports 1...
That like, makes more sense to have it be more of a sporting.
So, like, I could see where Vince's input on maybe getting some different characters over.
I mean,
but at the same time, I don't want him to do that because then you're going to lose what makes NXT unique.
To be fair, he did implement that stupid no wrestling during commercials rule because real sports don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that seemingly kind of rolled back.
They did roll that back a lot because it was bad. But I could see what Dalton's saying in that if Vince goes, well, now that we need to be taken more seriously in a real sports feel, then maybe NXT should be treated more like a real sports thing. But I also feel like it Vince McMahon, he screwed up.
Yeah.
We watched last night, or maybe it was the day before, Allie and I, we were watching the Paul Heyman promo. Mm-hmm. Well, I was watching. She fell asleep. Did you stay awake for it?
Yeah.
Where he was cutting the promo on Vince right before the Invasion match. And he was talking about how Vince, have you watched the shows lately? Everything's terrible. It's all about the McMahons. Everything he said could be cycled today and it all would still fit, except for the part about Taz. That would probably be a little weird. But yeah, everything he said is still viable today, and that's sad that 20 years later, it's still an issue. Anyway.
But that was NXT. It was a really good show. Like I said, just some things didn't click with me as much as I did. I know a lot of other people did. But I mean, it was still a really fantastic show.
Now let's talk about SummerSlam.
Yes.
I don't think we need to go match by match. Mm-hmm. Overall, it was a good show. It was a strong SummerSlam.
Great show.
Let's talk about Ricochet's gear for a second.
I was going to talk about Bray first, but let's talk about Ricochet first. He was Nightwing.
Yeah, he was.
And that was a pretty sweet outfit.
And you seemed less excited.
I was in a weird mood.
Than I think anyone expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was
no
in a weird
erection.
No, surprisingly not. Mattel, I know you're listening. Instead of making another Nakamura, give me Ricochet and Nightwing gear.
Can they do that legally?
Yeah, they have.
Like, seriously.
Because Ringside, they did a... I'm going to be a nerd for a second. They did Rey Mysterio in, as Batman in a two-pack.
Okay.
And then they did Rey Mysterio in the Flash gear as a Ringside exclusive figure. So if that means I have to pay $30 to get it, I'll just buy it from Ringside.
It's a price I'll gladly pay.
Gladly pay for it. It was really cool gear. That match I liked a whole lot. But I'm sorry, I'll let you.
No, you're right. That was very, very cool.
Just wanted to get that in.
I just figured. I think the thing most people are talking about from there was probably the most epic moment in wrestling recently when Seth Rollins pinned Brock Lesnar. That's a joke. It's Bray Wyatt. It's Bray Wyatt interest as the Fiend.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of wondering what's it going to be like when he actually comes out to wrestle. And it turns out it was awesome. It was so awesome, in fact, that WWE went, maybe it was too awesome. And they've scaled it back, at least on their YouTube page.
Because they had the full entrance up on their YouTube page for a while. And then, yeah, now it's cut down to like a 50-second version.
It's important to note that the reason they did it was because the music hits. It starts with the Funhouse theme. And then it kind of distorts and burns up, and then it goes into the new theme, which is the same song
by Code Orange.
By Code Orange. It was originally done by Mark Frazier or something like that.
I'll look into it, but I'm pretty sure you're right.
And I think it was originally called like Broken Out in Love or something. And then they renamed it Live in Fear. But it's the same song, but Mark Crozier. But now it's done by Code Orange, and it's an incredible theme. The beginning with the hard doom,
which they straight up stole Finn Balor's like the exhale. Or the inhale, the breath.
And so the Fiend comes out. He already looks awesome. The lighting is awesome. The camera angles are awesome.
This is by far the coolest thing WWE, I think, could possibly have ever done.
Yeah.
Kofi Kingston won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Becky Lynch with the broken nose, blood pouring down her face, when the man was truly born.
Yeah.
I'm hard pressed to think that any of that is like, this is my moment of the year.
What a turnaround for Bray Wyatt to go from where is he to the Firefly Funhouse, which was fun, but we all was like, what's going to happen with this? Because it was brilliant.
Yeah.
To this, which is also brilliant. He has a cool factor with this character that I've never seen before.
It was so perfect. You talked about, you said on Sunday, like he looks like an actual, like they're treating him like a horror movie.
He was a horror movie.
Like a horror movie. Yeah. One of the cool touches is the way that it was constantly like the camera was constantly moving. Like he was constantly coming in and out of frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And until they pulled back for the wider shot and like the spotlight hit one of the parts of the ramp that's farther down, you genuinely had no sense of where he was on the entrance ramp.
And if that was intentional, amazing. If that was accidental, keep it going.
Right.
Because you caught lightning in a bottle.
Because it was absolutely incredible. He had the lantern of
his head. And there it is, the lantern.
That's not why they pulled it.
Oh, it's not?
No, WWE's Twitter has this image up right now.
Oh, shit.
Because that lantern
is very
awesome.
It's his Bray Wyatt's head. That was from 3 hours ago.
Well, I still think they pulled it for the lantern, but I think they only pulled it because of YouTube guidelines.
I also don't think that's true. The reason I think they pulled it and they changed it is because they want people to have to go to the network and watch it.
I think both of those options are viable.
Like, I mean, it could be true. Like,
because you know how YouTube is cracking down on unsafe content.
Yeah, but WWE puts so much stuff out that I feel like they can...
They get away with it.
They can take the hit of having one video be unmonetized.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think they'll unmonetize them because it doesn't, like...
Demonetize, guys.
Sorry.
I don't think they would take... I don't think YouTube would do that to them because WWE legit has one of the biggest YouTube pages in the entire website.
Yeah, but I think it also depends on how many people complain. If legitimately a bunch of parents complained about it, I could see them pulling it. You remember Logan Paul whenever he had the Suicide Forest thing, which I know, unfair comparison.
Yeah, but
that was completely
in poor
taste. But it's kind of the same thing of if there is enough of a backlash, YouTube will pull it.
Because was that any worse than what you would see on a horror movie trailer that would be on YouTube?
I don't think so.
I also feel like that.
That's my argument.
I also think that if there was backlash to it, we would have heard about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like we're not getting the, oh no, people are upset about the lantern. Like
no,
I haven't seen any of those
stories.
But
I could also see people being upset with the lantern.
I mean, I could be, but like I said, if it was so many that they had to change a YouTube video,
it would be a bigger story.
It would be a bigger story. That would be the story. Whereas I'm pretty sure, I feel like my gut reaction to it is, oh, they don't want you to be able to go and just watch it for free. They want you to get, use your free week, forget that you've subscribed to it, and then get charged another.
But the weird part about it is that they had originally posted it. And that's where I want to know why. Why did they post? Because they posted the
Because it was such a cool moment, and they knew how awesome it was. And then I think they realized, oh, wait.
Well, it was the second most watched video from SummerSlam behind Seth Rollins.
And now it's down to number 8. But all of the, they've posted a bunch of videos that
they
have gotten,
They post videos every 5 seconds.
Well, they do that, but they have more than, their top 10 of the last, 7 days are all over, 2 million views.
Yeah.
Which is incredible numbers even by their standards.
Yeah, pretty, pretty good. And but I think the lantern is such a huge part of it because that set the tone.
That was the first thing you saw. Yeah. That was the first light.
I couldn't believe that I saw that. Yeah. I could not believe on WWE TV I'm seeing a decapitated head
of Bray Wyatt.
Of Bray Wyatt with his mouth wide open. Horror movie. It's such a horror movie. The mask, the outfit, even the way he wrestled, the way he moved, everything was so picture perfect. Except for one thing.
Yep.
You want to say it? Go ahead.
The neck snap.
The neck snap, it needs to go.
I am not looking forward to every independent show having
the
neck snap
thing
now.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm sorry.
Neck snap out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm sorry to any of our CCW wrestlers that were like, oh, I'm going to start using that now. Please don't.
Please don't.
I'm probably doing it this weekend.
Because
so.
that move is designed to murder.
Again, please don't.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It was a bad move.
But I mean, he made it look cool, but it's just this is so.
When they do that, generally, it's
Ethan
to kill.
Ethan Page had a really great tweet of please, Impact's been killing people for years. And it's funny because it's true. But no, this was the coolest friggin' thing, man. I loved the music, the having gone back and listened to it, hearing the yelling in the background.
Hurt.
It's hurt and heal. Hurt. I couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah.
It was the lighting, and the way that the music just cuts off when he was in the corner. That's something different. Everything about this is new.
It gives me the same chills that I used to get watching The Undertaker when I was a kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think
watching him go to the ring in the dark and then raise the lights, same feeling.
And even when Bray was first up and he was kind of the weird swamp cult leader and then that was different and it was cool, but this feels truly special.
Yeah.
And that whereas, old Bray was awesome and I was a huge fan. it didn't have like that. Like yeah. It was something I didn't even know I wanted.
But I think part of it is also because they haven't ruined it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
the thing is, like, I'm enjoying this. I am wrapping the present up in my blanket.
Go.
I have rewatched that entrance video because, like, I think there's some website that had a
Vox.
Like,
I know Vox had it.
Maybe Vox. Yeah. I would go back and like just rewatch it because it was so awesome.
Mattel posted a picture of it and said, "Who's excited for a Fiend figure?" And I wanted to tweet and be like, "Yeah, in a fucking year, whenever he's already jobbed out to Mojo."
The Mattel fans literally flooded the streets with the ejaculate.
I'll buy that figure so fast.
Because go back. Go.
I mean,
back
that's
to,
one that I will probably buy.
I'll probably will too. I'll be honest. Go back to when Bray Wyatt first debuted with the Wyatt family on Raw against Kane. That was a special moment.
Yeah.
Like, and they. Over time, you remember when they faced off against the Shield, the crowd chanting
this
"Holy
is awesome,
shit!"
Before
this is awesome before they even did anything.
Yeah.
So I think they're in such a position now, though, it's going to be hard to screw this up.
I still think that he should be the one to beat the Demon. I think that.
Which, by the way, rest in peace to the Demon, because the Demon was the coolest thing. But boy, does it look like a biggity bitch at this point.
Oh, if there's one thing I've learned, that entrance. If there's one thing I've learned about like. Finn Balor and through like just because Prince Devitt, he's thinking of something like
yeah,
he has something in the back of his mind that's just like I can top
if
it.
If this turns into a WrestleMania feud, which I don't necessarily think it will, but it could. Like if this is the WrestleMania feud, like oh boy,
it's got to be more than just the headdress and some paint.
And
though.
I think it will be.
Yeah, he's got.
I genuinely think it will
because
be.
Damn, did Bray Wyatt set the bar? He didn't set the bar.
He is the bar.
So the match was good too.
Magic, yeah.
It was the perfect combination of Bray being dominant, Finn still getting offense in, but yeah. Like he's so taken back by what we've seen.
His reaction after the like after the entrance of just
the nervousness.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And it was legitimate. It felt it's not like when they bring out you know the boogeyman or something and they mm-hmm. tell you be afraid. No, the Fiend was legitimately frightening.
Yeah.
The kids were.
It's like I said on Sunday. It's like, oh, is that what this feels like?
Yeah, he got Batman.
Otherwise, on SummerSlam, like I said, we're not going to go over the whole card. It was a fantastic show.
Mm-hmm.
Lesnar versus Rollins delivered. That was
a
great match. What's that?
I made a dollar.
You made a dollar.
Yeah.
Off Jesse, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which I was very convinced I lost after the first F5.
Real quick, match of the night. What do you think? Only one right answer.
Ricochet and AJ.
It's a good match, but no.
Allie.
She wasn't on the card.
The thing is...
She knows which one I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Allie, go ahead and say
it. Already asked me this question.
You can tell them.
Charlotte versus Trish.
I think Charlotte versus Trish was match of the night.
That was really, really good. I think my match of the... Like, my match of the night was The Fiend's entrance. But if I have to pick an actual match, I would actually probably say Seth and Lesnar.
I don't know, man. There was something so
like,
special about seeing Trish and Charlotte.
Ricochet walked on Carl Anderson's shoulders... Or no, Luke Gallows shoulders onto Carl Anderson's shoulders and then jumped on.
It was Anderson
on.
Then Gallows.
It was Anderson then Gallows. It was hit his shoulders, got on the other shoulders, and then Hurricane Rana'd AJ Styles off of that. And not only that, he did in a goddamn Nightwing outfit.
Trish showed up.
One single leg.
He was doing
springboard.
Yeah, that was mainly the.
I love and don't get me wrong. Trish like I loved that match, but like I knew that match was going to be great. Whereas I had my doubts about Rollins and Lesnar.
Yeah,
that
I had my doubts about
Charlotte Trish.
Yeah.
But then Trish is busting out Hurricane Rana's. There was this great storytelling of mm-hmm. can she beat Trish Stratus and then can Trish beat Charlotte?
Mm-hmm.
The right person won, even though I hate that Trish lost.
Let me reiterate this. Ricochet also hit Hurricane Rana's.
Yeah, Ricochet's also like 14 years old and in amazing shape. Trish is a mom who's been retired for like, what, 17 years?
She wrestled at Evolution.
She sure did.
Yeah, but this match was way better.
It was.
This was like, I truly hope we never see her wrestle again. This
no, yeah,
was
the send-off match. That should be her final. That should be her final match. And it was amazing. Like again, I'm not saying that either of those matches were bad. I'm trying to give credit to Rollins and Lesnar because I was literally playing Assassin's Creed when that match started because of how little I cared, and it ended up drawing me in.
Yeah, it was great.
And it ended up being a really, really great match. And it's that thing where it's like, remember at 25 when I got pissed off. Because Tyler NXT 25 because Tyler Breeze has been on the roster for this long.
Yeah, that was
and we're
the,
only
that,
just now seeing this.
Yeah, that was a takeover, not 25, but yeah,
whichever. But like this was that with me for Lesnar of just like we could be getting these quality matches out of Lesnar. And to be fair, all of the Lesnar matches have been entertaining to an extent,
but not competitive.
But they haven't been as competitive and as good as they could have.
That's
been.
True. But I will give Lesnar the one like I will give him credit with. One thing is he sells his ass off
every time every
for everybody.
Time.
Absolutely. Like, unless he is just told to go out there and kill him,
mm-hmm.
he sells amazingly for everybody he's in the ring with.
And,
like,
and you're right. It's just this match was so competitive because usually he sells for the three moves they give him.
Yeah.
And then he hits the F5
and
then
it's
home.
Just suplexes all the time. Whereas this was back and forth enough. Like it ended up being like, oh shit, I don't know who's going to win this.
And by the way, love the fact that Seth Rollins countered the Germans with the flip every like the first two times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, holy shit, that's brilliant. Because what does Brock Lesnar do? Germans. Seth can counter them easily.
I liked Braun Strowman's reversal more, which was just roll out
just
of it.
Just stand up.
Yeah. That's why he wasn't on the show.
Well, he's back now.
Was Roman on the show?
No.
Huh.
Nope.
That was another thing that I wanted to talk about was the...
And Miz?
Yeah, Miz wasn't on. Daniel Bryan wasn't on. Samoa Joe wasn't on.
But Goldberg was there.
Yeah.
Doom, doom,
and then doom. Goldberg... So just to jump ahead to SmackDown, Dolph Ziggler did the... Or maybe it was Raw. I don't know.
It was
remember.
Raw. Miz.
He did the exact same thing to Miz, and then Miz laid him out again. That was funny. But something I did want to mention from the pre-show, which Edge returned. We talked about that. That was super cool to see him.
Yeah.
But the Buddy Murphy Apollo Crews match, really random... Really good, and then Rowan comes out of nowhere, keep my name out of your mouth, just friggin' waylays Murphy. And I love that, because I like that they are tying this in with... this. It's not often that WWE like does stories with multiple unconnected people.
Yeah.
If anything, that what they'll do is they'll take like, oh, these two people are in a feud, these two people are in a feud,
tag team.
Oh, this tag team's in a feud, this individual's in a feud, six-man tag.
Yeah.
But this is Buddy Murphy... is being accused by... This started as a Samoa Joe-Roman's Reigns feud. Now Buddy Murphy's involved. Now Daniel Bryan and Rowan are involved.
Which is completely accidental, too. Did you read? Apparently, Murphy was not planned to be in this angle at all. He was literally just backstage when the segment happened.
Really?
And the fan interaction of, oh, there's Buddy Murphy, got WWE the idea of, well, let's put him in it. And now he's running away with it because he had that match with Roman Reigns on SmackDown, which was really good.
One of the best SmackDown matches they've ever had, like that's ever been put
Roman
on.
Roman Reigns put him over huge. Roman Reigns put him over online huge.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. He beat him, but
it was a 14-minute match.
Yeah, how it many was competitive.
How many guys named Murphy have a 14-minute match with Roman Reigns?
The key is the follow-up, though.
It's really good. It's really good. So, I love what they're doing with him, and Murphy's got to be happy to be in such a good position.
Yeah.
Accidentally. One of the comments I read was, now all these people who feel like they're being slighted by WWE are just going to try to show up in backstage segments in
and
the background and hope for the best.
Hope that someone tries to get someone gets murdered.
It's my time. Because the same thing happened with Paul London.
Yeah.
But, only he got fired.
Yeah, not in a good way. Yeah.
I miss Paul London.
Don't smile.
Don't smile.
He smiled hard.
Yeah.
What about Goldberg?
I mean, it was...
He never smiles.
It was good. Like,
I was entertained.
Also, every time you do that, I'm thinking that it's going to be Sabu's music.
I actually don't know his music.
Did you...
Do, do,
do, do,
do. And then it does the music.
Did you see Matt Riddle's story about when he ran into Goldberg?
Yeah.
Backstage?
No.
We need to talk.
Hey, we need to talk. Dude, all right, bro. I'm not your bro. Cool, bro. Like, it's fine. Just keeps calling him bro. And then, yeah, Goldberg was...
God, the more I hear about Matt Riddle, the less I like him.
Oh, I love him.
He's such
one of those, like,
condescending
asshole.
He's
such a dude bro.
Yeah.
But he is, but he's also like...
Dude bros aren't a good thing.
Like, she's right.
This one is, though. He wears flip-flops to the ring and then kicks
them off. Sandals.
They're flip-flops.
Flip-flops have the little thing in between the big toe and the little toe.
Or he wears slides. And
so sandals.
He wears thongs.
Nope, those are flip-flops.
Oh.
He's a dude, bro.
And I love him.
And that's not a compliment.
Kevin is really upset with you right now.
He's going to get his ass whooped one of these days.
Dude, bro. Good luck.
Yeah, because that's the problem with him.
Yeah, say you can't fuck with, yeah, tough.
It's that meme of like Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan wearing the mesh tank tops with like the midriff showing. And it's like, yeah, you wear what you want when no one can kick your ass.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking Matt Riddle.
But yeah, SummerSlam was great.
What about Goldberg kicking out of one, though? That's the only thing I hated. And it was pointed out online that Goldberg made... He took offense from Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler hit the super kick twice. Goldberg kicked out at one twice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, goddamn, kick out at two. At least one.
That was great. I was laughing actively at that one.
It's the thing of it's if it was anyone else but Ziggler, like I might care. But and it breaks my heart to say this because I'm such a fan of Dolph Ziggler, but
Ziggler, I mean Goldberg.
It was
that
never
young upstart Goldberg looked great.
Yeah, it was never going to be the. It was like I think Bully Ray even said it on Twitter because we talked about it that night. Of Undertaker's tag match with Roman was his. No, the Saudi match isn't my last match. I'm not going out like that.
Right.
And this was Goldberg's.
unless the rumors are true and Heyman keeps Goldberg around as his like go-to guy. He's the new Undertaker.
I mean, and he could.
He could be, because like, he looked great.
He looked great.
And in short squash matches, he looks great, just like old Goldberg.
Yeah.
William Regal shows up, and he's like, no.
Nope, not doing this.
Hey, Regal, can you... Hey, Matt Riddle, can you get Goldberg in there and just kind of toy with him for a little bit?
Oh.
SummerSlam was great. Fantastic show.
I also really liked the Becky and Natalya match was really good.
Yeah, I was disappointed
in the Orton-Kofi match, mostly because of the ending. Like... I know it's what I told Sadie of like the build up to this match very much felt like the build up to a first match of a series, and that's clearly what we're getting. So
yeah.
I look forward to what they do going forward, especially after SmackDown. But
speaking of Raw and SmackDown,
I was hoping that would be better.
Let's move on to that.
Worth mentioning, not making an appearance on either show, Bray Wyatt or The Fiend.
He is booked for next week, though, apparently.
Yeah. Which,
it's because he's too busy selling out merch on WWE.com.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you talking about the Firefly Funhouse playset?
Yeah.
I almost bought that. I was thinking about
it. You can get
it.
Well,
I
good
almost,
luck.
I also kind of thought about it just because it's like, you know what? I love this so much. Maybe I will just like.
Oh, you should have, because now apparently it's going for upwards of $249 and $250.
Don't worry.
Yep.
Mattel will make
a legit one.
A two pack of The Fiend and Bray Wyatt. I want that to be a battle pack. I know.
I was gonna say.
I know their basics. I don't care.
You hear about this guy? This game, Pooflinger. So this game that came out on PS4, or it was an indie game, and it was digital only.
Uh huh.
So this game company called Limited Rare Games decided we're gonna make a physical copy of this because they do. It's like limited run games. In fact, they actually stole their logo. So they contact them and say we want to make this game. They say sure. So they put pre-orders up for it. And they sell so few pre-orders that they jack the price up and say, look, if we don't sell this for more money, we're not going to make any money on it. We're going to go out of business. We need more people to buy it at a higher price.
Okay.
Which, would you believe, did the opposite, and then no one else pre-ordered it. Well, somehow they made enough copies to send out to the 70 people that pre-ordered it. The copies went out. They all got it. And now the game is worth upwards of $500 to $1,000 because there were so few of them printed.
Yep, that happens.
Firefly Funhouse. Same thing. Except, you know, the poo. Because it's the shit.
But I genuinely hope that
we'll talk more about it on IMDb tomorrow.
I don't want to see the Fiend
every
on
week.
Raw or SmackDown every week. Like that's what we were talking about on Sunday night of just like, okay, that needs to be a special attraction.
Yeah.
That needs to be like Bray Wyatt, just let him do the Firefly Funhouse stuff. Mm-hmm. Like don't even need to show him in person.
Mm-hmm.
Like this needs to be treated as special as it is.
I agree.
So I'm kind of glad. Like on the one hand, give me all of it. Inject it directly into my veins.
No,
I want it. But at the same time, like
you find out from eating Pepsi and pizza all the time that the more you have of something good, the less you want it.
Yeah.
So, Raw and SmackDown. Let's just briefly mention them because we're already at an hour, and you know maybe once we can get home at a reasonable hour.
Yeah.
I actually don't remember much that happened. I watched the top 10 from Raw. Oh wait, huge from Raw. What am I talking about? Sasha Banks is back.
I was going to say, I was like, that's... I can't believe I
blazed over that. The dumbest part about that is, one, it's kind of shitty that the fans chanted, thank you, Sasha, when she was beating Natalya. That's pretty shitty.
Well, it was also kind of shitty that they were chanting boring as she was telling a story about her dead father.
Oh, I didn't see that part, because the clip I watched, it was on YouTube.
Yeah.
It started with her saying, it's been a year since my dad passed away, and then the music hit.
Yeah. Because she talked about having a dream where her dad talked to her before the match, and like... That's the part that led into that part, and the crowd had started like was starting to chant boring.
What a wow. Jesus Christ
in Canada!
Jesus Christ, humanity is awful.
Well, Jim Neidhart's not from Canada.
Every comic book villain was right. Every one of them. The thing I loved Sasha coming back. I guess
I'm confused on something.
It was it the hair?
Yeah,
I didn't get that either.
Because she came out with the purple hair, and I was like, didn't she just dye it blonde? And also, like, why is she wearing a wig? Because
It was very clearly a wig
because in the kind of funny when they reviewed the MCU, uh-huh. there was a segment called Wigging Out with Scarpino. Is it a wig? I don't know. It's Wigging Out with Scarpino. Because in those movies.
Jesus Christ.
In those movies, like Sarjo. People always have wigs and they're kind of typically terrible.
Yeah.
And so he always just, you know, takes a moment to bash the bad wigs.
Yeah.
And that's all I could think about was like, she's clearly wearing a wig. Why?
That was the.
This is weird.
What was the point of it?
And then, but then she removed it as like the big dramatic, like, which I love. Twitter loves because it's like, that is a big, it's like, you can turn evil by a wig reveal. It's amazing. But now she's got blue hair, which means she's evil. I guess.
I don't know. Boy, that was pointless.
But what makes her evil is cold cocking Natalya with a cheap shot and then beating the absolute dog shit out of Becky with chairs.
Yeah.
I dug it.
Like, that's way better than the hair reveal.
It's what, 4 years of Sasha on the main roster and we're just now getting her as heel?
Why couldn't we skip the hair
Sasha's
reveal?
Been heel before.
With the
with fire
team, whatever the.
But then, like, she was always screwing over Bayley.
That was I don't count that as a heel
turn. That was
turn.
Tweenie.
That wasn't a heel turn. That was them both just fighting, but they stayed. This is full on like,
but
okay. heel.
Well, let me ask you this about it: is she a racist,
bro?
The
hair thing. All right, last time I'll mention it, but I cannot describe to you how much I hated the hair thing because I don't see the point of it. I want to get like livid and do my thing where I'm like woo woo, but I legitimately don't understand.
But you're just Kairi saying you're a little confused about it.
I am.
Oh
confused.
My god, Io Shirai, Jesus Christ,
that's terrible.
Yep.
But like, there was absolutely please tell me there was zero significance to the hair the reveal.
I think it's symbolic of this is a new Sasha. Which, this isn't the same, like, because she came back with the same look and everything. So I think that's what that is.
Weak sauce.
It was weird.
Yeah.
That said, the segment itself I thought was really well done.
It was
and
fire.
I'm like, and I'm really happy that she's back.
It was fire. Yeah.
So I'm super excited about that. Heyman revealed that Lesnar's not getting a rematch.
Which makes no sense. Well, it actually does
make
sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense because they've said like no automatic rematches and Kevin Owens even pointed out on Twitter, he's like, yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's been 2 years since I've had my rematch. It's been 2 years since I lost the title and I never got my rematch. You'll be fine. The end of the show was, terrible. It was AJ confronting Seth Rollins and saying that he was going to be a better champion than him, but he didn't challenge him for the Universal Championship.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was kind of weird. So they had a match, but the OC got involved. Ricochet came out for the save and then Strowman came out and made the save, but also like eyed the Universal Championship and like kind of shoved it back at Rollins.
I did like the segment leading up to that where Seth was worried that the club was going to get involved and AJ like kind of laughed at him because he was worried about it. Like, that's good stuff right there. That's good shit, pal. Are you sending her racist things too?
Yes, he is.
Terrible.
God damn it.
Terrible.
That's right.
There was something else on Raw that God I wanted to talk about, and I don't remember what it was. They didn't do anything with the tag match or the tag championship.
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, I'm blanking on. Yeah. There was something else that I thought was kind of cool.
Oh God!
But it's gone. SmackDown.
I'm going to YouTube and just seeing what the segments were to see if there's anything interesting.
Yeah, SmackDown had more of the Roman Daniel Bryan Rowan thing because Rowan attacked Murphy again in the locker room after their match with Roman. After his match with Roman,
Bryan help out with this.
Well, they talked about it. Because he talked about like, no, it was a coerced. Roman Reigns had his forearm on his neck. Of course, he's going to say anything he wants to hear. That does not, you know, you just threw someone random under the bus. So then they beat the crap out of him in the locker room and do the exact same thing. And Daniel Bryan is like, no, tell him you didn't see us. He's like, I didn't see you. So, but Daniel Bryan and Rowan have promised to bring the perpetrator to Roman on Tuesday. So that's kind of cool. Looks like the Revival are going to be challenging for... that wasn't the
Kabuki thing. Warriors lost.
Kabuki Warriors lost There's to that. Alexa and Bliss. The Revival were co-24/7 champs, but now it's Elias. Because it was like R-Truth beat them again, and then... It was more 24/7 stuff. But the Revival were on SmackDown and kind of challenged the New Day. That was a six-man tag where it was the Revival and Orton against all three members of the New Day. Orton got the win there, which just kind of, again, furthers the feud with Kofi, which we knew was going to happen.
Rowan and, I don't know if you mentioned, Brian coerced a confession out of
Yep, definitely
Murphy.
Talked about that.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe got... So that was... Oh, that was the thing from Raw that I was thinking of. So Samoa Joe... So it was the Street Profits were backstage and talking about, I don't remember, the man. And Sami Zayn's like, yeah, the man was so cool and genuine, but now it's just corporate and fake. And they're like, does that happen to everybody? He's like, yeah, it happens to everybody. And then Samoa Joe was behind Zayn. He took offense. They had a match. The crowd was really behind Joe. And he's like, hey, no, screw all you people. Because you agree with him. So
is like, that good or a mistake?
It was weird because they were teasing Joe as a face turn, which could be a thing. And then on SmackDown, he came out and helped Shane attack Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens was opened the show, cutting the promo about beating Shane. Shane comes out and he has the internet's reaction of hands to the face. He drops on his knees and just starts banging on the mat because Shane's out there. And then Elias was the special guest referee. They fined Owens $100,000 for assaulting Elias as his role as enforcer because he was in an official capacity.
That's also good shit, pal.
Yeah, it's great.
And Shelton Benjamin was in another weird segment.
And then the King of the Ring tournament got announced. Holy crap, how did
I miss
that?
Do we know the participants in that?
Yes.
All of them?
All 16 have been announced.
16 have been announced. It's heartbreaking because Xavier Woods was so excited on Twitter when they announced it. And then they announced the competitors. He is not one of them. And he posted the video from a bunch of clips from Up, Up, Down, Down of him in like back in like 2016, 2017. Like, oh no, my goal is to bring back the King of the Ring. I have been trying to get them to bring back the King of the Ring. It is my favorite thing in wrestling. I will be in the King of the Ring.
They bring it back.
And they bring it back and he's not in it.
But Apollo Crews is.
Yeah, yay! It's a really weird tournament. But the 16 confirmed entrants are Ali, Andrade, Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin, Buddy Murphy, Cedric Alexander, Cesaro, Chad Gable, Drew McIntyre, Elias, The Miz, Kevin Owens, Ricochet, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, and Shelton Benjamin. That's
a solid meat pack right there.
That is an amazing. Amazing group of guys.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, there's not a single person there that I would be bummed if they won.
Baron Corbin?
No. I genuinely want him to win because he's going to be so obnoxious with it.
Yeah. Because like, that's something that they could have done.
Actually,
they gave him the damn Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal trophy. That means nothing.
Back before he had Constable. A personality.
This could just be another one of those accolades that they... Because what I don't want them to happen is for them to do like what they do to everybody and turn them into like a one-note king character. Except Baron Corbin's the only one that I want that to happen to.
King Corbin.
Yeah.
Add it to the list of accolades
Constable King Corbin.
Yeah.
Corden.
King Constable Corden.
Isn't Ricochet's legitimate Twitter handle like King Ricochet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, motherfucker.
It's so there's a lot of really, really good ones. I will say that I also love the King of the Ring, but I had an idea like years ago if they brought me in and they're like, hey, you're doing King of the Ring. I would do it as it's the pay-per-view before the Royal Rumble. The entire, between that, whatever pay-per-view is before that, the entirety of TV, for the most part, other than like the championship stuff, is dedicated. It's all qualifying matchups. No one's in automatically. No one gets a bye. You're not just naming who's in it. Everyone has to, like, it's kind of like do it like the G1. Not necessarily round robin style, but like you have to win matches to actually qualify for the tournament.
Yeah.
The King of the Ring tournament takes place at the pay-per-view. The winner of the pay-per-view or the winner of the King of the Ring
finals,
they get the title of King of the Ring, but also, and they hold that title for the year. Like they are the King of the Ring. But the thing that is most valuable there is that is who they get to name the championship that they compete for at the Royal Rumble. So that guarantees you a WWE Championship match at the Royal Rumble or the World Heavyweight, or I guess now the Universal Championship.
Yeah.
So at the Royal Rumble, not to win the Royal Rumble.
No, not to win the Royal Rumble, but they get their title match because then you get a championship match, and that also is your, like, oh, you know, you have to win the Royal Rumble to main event WrestleMania, or be the champion going into WrestleMania.
I wish they would devote more time to it, because like, King of the Ring was always like... It's such a legitimate sounding thing.
And it's so cool. And it's just, but it always devolves into kind of a throwaway.
Yeah.
Like, it's still one of my favorite visuals in wrestling is William Regal beat to hell, just like slouched in the throne.
He looked like a king.
Yeah.
Oh God, I loved William Regal during that time. It's a shame all of the
everything that things, happened.
Right. Lastly, let's talk about Impact real quick and get out of here.
Not much to talk about there. The North retained against, LAX, but it's not both members of LAX. It's one of the new LAX, and then Diamante, I think.
Definitely not the LAX that's going to be at CCW August 24th in the cage against the LA Hustlers for the CCW Tag Championships.
Yes, definitely not that LAX.
Okay.
But that was the main event. They continued storylines with Jordan Grace and Madison Rayne and Ace Austin and Eddie Edwards. which they're doing more stupid. Like, they're doing a Mike Kanellis-esque with Eddie Edwards, and not nearly as bad, but like
pregnant wife. Or?
No, of his wife is pissed off at him for things, and she's just kind of like, oh, unreasonable lady.
Did you say unreasonable lady?
Yeah.
That's how they act.
Yeah,
I just never heard that term.
It's cartoonish. It's cartoonish and over the top and totally unnecessary.
I feel like that's a bad Chinese subtitle in a movie. Like,
oh, it's my favorite Netflix series.
Unreasonable lady says.
Taya Valkyrie got disqualified in her Knockouts Championship defense against Jessica Havoc. It was a good. Again, Impact does cool stuff. It's on Twitch. Check it out.
Let me pitch a new idea for a show.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
It's this show. But it's called Godless Sodomites and the Unreasonable Woman.
So are we just going to rename the Tuesday show?
We're going to rename it. The Thursday show, it's done. The new show. Bigger. My show. All right, I think that's going to do it for us.
Yeah, that's everything.
All right. Tune in next week for an all-new episode of Godless Sodomites and the Unreasonable Woman here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. If you want the new Godless Sodomites and the Unreasonable Woman t-shirt, please email us.
Your designs. Yeah. And also the t-shirts, and we will sell them and keep all the money.
Yes. You have to also pay for it to get them made. Asa, hit us with those links.
Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Twitter.com/Podzilla1985. Podzilla1985.com. You can go and listen to any of the back episodes. Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. $1 gets you the pre-shows all month long. And it's
I hear they're fantastic.
Josh from Press Start to Join said he was crying laughing so hard from last night's. If you don't listen to I Want to Believe.
I don't remember.
Even if you don't listen to I Want to Believe or like Nerd Up
Shame
or any
on
of those.
You.
You were rude.
You were probably rude.
I'm pretty rude.
Sweet Shannon. Accusing sweet Shannon of a misdeed.
Yes.
You're unreasonable.
But even if you don't listen to like the main shows, like if PW is the only show that you listen to, you still like the pre-shows are all like definitely worth checking out because they're not topics. It's just we're doing the mic tests and we're just, you know.
Just
we're
just BSing.
We're just BSing. It's a lot of fun. A
couple dicks in the yard.
just a couple of cocky boys. Telling stories. So yeah, go to those places. Give us money.
Okay. Allie, believe it or not, godlessodomites.com is not a real website.
Yeah, we tried.
Yet.
We tried.
I say we buy it and then redirect it to Podzilla 1985.
I think if we're going to go with the Godless Sodomites and the Unreasonable Woman, it needs to be a YouTube show along the same veins as Roll for Friendship and the Irresponsible Spin Monsters. We are sitting on money with these YouTube shows.
We just need equipment and time.
Talent. All right, that's it. We're going to get out of here. You guys have a great day. Have a great night, wherever you are, wherever, whatever time it is. You're in Japan. It's 3 o'clock 2 weeks from now. Shit. That's fine. We'll be back tomorrow with After Dark. We're going to talk about that shooting, breaking story. We're going to be talking about Disney, probably. I don't know. Till then, we'll see you guys later. Have a great night.